Nice.
You can keep going.
All right, and we can keep going. We're back. And that was the, when you have a very special clientele as advertisers.
Right.
Those that don't care if you cuss or swear or slander.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what the rules are here. See, that's why I'm being really good on that.
You could say,
this is like,
and as a matter of fact, this is the blue hour. We did our 8 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
We talked about some stuff and some karate kids, stuff like that.
Oh, I see.
How you doing?
Oh, yeah, how you doing? I'm all right. Yeah, no. I'm doing all right. The karate's looking pretty good right there.
Hey, I got a six of Natty Light. I want to talk a little bit about one of my favorite movies that you did growing up. Well, when I was growing up, on top of, and it's really two back to back, because I remember one of our friends had got to, in the vacation movies, they tend to change Rusty over and over and over again. And in Python,
yeah,
we got to work with one of the Audreys.
Dana.
And didn't you... Wait a second.
Dana Barron.
So now Dana what? Barron. So now Dana Hill was in your
Dana,
your vacation.
Right. I was in European vacation. Dana Barron was the original Audrey. Dana Hill was in mine.
See, now they're just confusing us with the Danas. And so I love Jack, by the way. I thought, and any character's great. Didn't you love it as a kid when you were in stuff and like, I was in like, what is that one on the Bonaventure, It's a Living or whatever with the... Angelian, remember that? The waitresses and the Bonaventure. And I was on one episode, but I was the redhead's kid. And they put one of my pictures on her locker. And then every episode, she'd open her locker and there'd be me on the thing. But for me, it was like an ego stroke. I was like, oh,
yeah. Hey. You're in the show though, every time.
They talk about you or your character project, aren't you like, wait, here they talk about my character.
Exactly.
Jack is a legendary character.
That's ridiculous. I did one scene in that and it's like, but they do, if they drag you through the movie by keeping your character alive, you might as well be in the scenes. It's really funny. I did one scene in that movie and a bunch of posters. Bitch of pictures. That was funny.
All I was worried about was the damn phone bill back to Jack.
Right, right.
And you're such a dick to her, man. And then right next to that was, at least on this whole IMDb thing, which lies about...
Yeah, you know what I love on IMDb?
And they shelf it. And then
somebody on IMDb put in, look at Valley Girl. See that?
What is that all about?
Nothing.
You're not helping with prom decorations, uncredited.
Yeah, will you write to them too? I've like tried to get that taken down. I'm like, some clown put that up there, which I think is funny. But they won't listen to me. I'm like, dude, I pay for my page. Can't you just take down...
You were never in that, the uncredited part?
No, I was never in that. Somebody's got a good laugh
out
of that.
He was in Love Boat as the boy in the pool. So
I was in Love Boat. My first thing was Greatest American Hero, right there. That's my very first thing.
I was watching
William Cat.
I watched it the other night.
William Cat.
What, this is the Science Project one?
Dude, how do you know that?
Come on,
man.
Greatest American Hero. I learned to play that freaking theme on the piano.
Stop it. Do you want to know the coolest? I'll do the short version on this. The Greatest American Hero, I was in high school. My drama teacher did not like that I was doing professional acting. She was like kind of one of those bitter actresses that didn't make it. She was like, you know those people? For whatever reason, like the total discouraging one. So Guys and Dolls is coming up. And she's like, you know, I want you to be in Guys and Dolls. Her name was, I'm not going to say her name. Just in case. I love her still. You know what I mean? Like, she may have a kid. But it wasn't very nice. But she's like, you know, you need to choose your, you know, is it your career or is it the movies or is it stage? And I'm like, I want to do both. She goes, well, you can't do both in my class. I said, all right, then I'm going to do commercials. So I decided not to be in Guys and Dolls. Fade out, fade up. I get The Greatest American Hero. It films at my high school in my drama class, and they have to put Guys and Dolls on hold for a week. I got a freaking motorhome in the, you know, a honey wagon out in the thing.
Faced.
And no, dude, I'm walking like I've got people with walkie talkies walking me through my own school to go and do this thing. And it was like, you know, and then I, you know, that was funny.
Anyways, Mrs. Bannister, you got served.
Yeah, I didn't really gloat in that though. Funny enough, I just it was.
Like, oh, I feel weird.
No, but
your own school. How did that? Now had you already? That was your first project, so there was How did the kids react?
Oh, well, I was a commercial kid, though. I was Dial Soap kid, Milk kid. Like, they knew me from commercials. So, but I tell you what happened was the girl that I had the biggest crush on, I had a kind of a girlfriend at that time. And the girl I always had a crush on all of a sudden asked me to the Vice Versa dance. And she asked me, it was really weird because the girl I was kind of going out with also asked me. And she asked me first, and then the other girl asked me, and it just complicated all my
life. You're blowing up. It, so, you know.
It complicated everything. Do we need to tweet? Have you tweeted yet that we're doing this right now?
We're tweeted. We've got comments on pictures and people people loving it. Equalizer, how basically half a season or a season or so? You were on 12 episodes, at least here on this.
No, I did. I did the whole thing. I was on the pilot and then I was recurring throughout it.
How great. I love that show. That was one of the adult shows as a kid I loved to watch because he'd kick some motherfucking.
It was a great show. That was really fun. You know, it was a breakaway from the teen movies and like working with like some really good
classes. Was it a master class of like just TV production and
good solid work? It really was that. And also it was like working with just really seasoned thespians that were just like, just took you to school and like, and how to be on a set. And like Edward Woodward, the Equalizer, he was so in tune with every single thing going on. He knew where the light was over here on the right. He knew what this guy was doing. Like, he was just so in tune with everything. And just like Robert Mitchum got to work with some just great actors. You know, those are the ones like, there's some great actors that went to that show. That was fun too. And it was in New York too. I love working in New York. That's where I'm from. I'm a New Yorker.
When you came out here for just the college or?
No, I came out here with my family when I was five, when I was 10. My dad was at NBC for 20 years. And then he got kind of burnt on TV and moved to California to do movies. So I came with him because I was his kid, you know.
I auditioned for this little
movie.
Let's
pull up your IMDb, enough of me. Let's talk about you for a minute.
Well, this is close. These are the near misses. Just One of the Guys.
Yeah.
I went up for...
one of my favorites.
The Billy Jacoby
role. I love them.
Billy Jane. We call Billy Jane now, but Billy Jacoby.
I know.
And I wanted the Buddy Griffith role really bad.
Oh, you'd have been great at that.
Oh,
you hear, funny
enough. Another. This now cemented this in, you know, perhaps why you got a reputation for being just assholes.
Yeah.
This cemented that, right?
Well, this was number two and then came back to school. Wait, no. This was two and then European Vacation, then back to school. Yeah. Here's the thing. See Better Off Dead, top right there?
Yeah.
Okay. I got offered Just One of the Guys on site. Like I was Columbia Picture. It was Karate Kid was still kind of buzzing. Karate Kid 2 was getting remade. I was going to be in that. So they basically just offered me Just One of the Guys. And I took it because, oh, it's another movie, you know? And I read it. I'm like, oh, I didn't really. But then I got offered Better Off Dead. And I'm like, man, oh, fuck. You know, I can say that now. We're in the blue hour. And I was like, I want to go skiing with John Cusack. I don't want to be in Arizona. Right. So I kind of always wish I did Better Off Dead.
Did you ever get to do your ski movie?
Your Hot Tub Time Machine. I ended up doing a John Cusack ski movie, you know, 100 years later. So, but it wasn't Better Off Dead. I still wish it was Better Off Dead. I love that movie.
Yeah, but Just One of the Guys.
Why does people love that movie? I think it's just an okay film. Is it just because it's so retro? Like it's kind of so 80s? Is that why? Or
it's just funny. It's
a good movie.
I mean, Lee McCloskey, come on.
Lee McCloskey's great. True.
And Joyce Heiser's boobs.
Well, that's true. That was some people's first exposure to
Teen Event Horizon.
That was kind of like in the 80s, that was monumental.
It was,
you know,
like
that was like Phoebe Cates in Fast Times, kind of, you know, it's like
bigger.
Much bigger.
I love the gay panic from Clayton Rohner when she's hitting on him. And he's like, well, I kind of am attracted to you too.
Yeah.
I still thought that. Oh, and Ari, good friend.
Ari's awesome. Ari. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Sherilyn Fenn as well. I don't remember.
What about the coach? I was just on a plane with him.
You were?
You're the coach from Just One of the Guys.
Wow.
And he looked at me like, go fuck yourself.
John Apicella. Wow. Good memories. That's one I do. I'll always watch that when Just One of the Guys is on. I don't know why. It's a good film, Billy. I don't know what
I think it's a good film. I mean, I think it's... I enjoy watching it, I guess, but, you know. I don't know. It really has a big cult following.
How fun is that to play with your brand? Do you watch reality TV at all?
What do I watch? I saw a little bit of Repo the other night. Some guys that repossessing cars from people. And the guys coming out their shotguns going, get away from my car. You know, like that.
Move. They're like, I can do 32 seconds.
I guess I'm kind of, I've never seen 1 minute, not 60 seconds of Jersey Shore. Never. Never saw it.
You should watch.
I did a thing for Jimmy Kimmel, a little spoof thing, and I had to mention Snooki. I didn't know who Snooki was when I said that word.
Good for you.
I didn't know who Snooki was. I only know now because of, you know.
Well, they talk about branding. These new reality stars who have three episodes in of some half hour, which is basically 19 minutes.
Right.
You know, in half an hour of today, right, 19 right. and a half minutes of airtime. There are one member, cast member of some reality show, Housewives of something, a Jersey. What is it? Brooklyn 11223 is the latest. Okay, that's the, if you really want to be okay. sink deep into it, watch that. Uh-huh. It's like all Snookies.
Okay.
Is that they all immediately on any press thing will be like, oh, well, yeah, and my brand, and I'm working on this, and a book, and a, this,
right.
and brand. And you did have a brand. And did you feel that may have stymied you or helped you or hurt you or not?
I don't
or
think I had a brand. I don't think I had a brand until later. Like, I think later they put the brand on you in a way. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't think about it. I never really...
But you did it successfully. I mean, they're shooting for that kind of thing today. And you go, Billy Zabka, and people go, oh, God. And they could name half a dozen things.
Yeah, so, I don't know. To me, that's just... It's just bizarre. I mean, I don't know. I just did the work, but I don't know. I didn't shoot out. I didn't aim to be like. I never any one of my bad guys, except for Greg Tolan and just one of the guys who's really unforgivable. He's just a prick, and he deserved to get his head in a punch bowl. You know what I mean? But like I mean,
fingerless gloves. What's the deal with the fingerless gloves?
I don't know. And eating raisins. Like, I had to find something for Greg. I mean, on the page, dude, his lines were stupid. Like, there was no read the script. It's not interesting. You know, like, I'm like, all right, I'll go make a movie. But it's weird. I don't know. I never really. I'm kind of known as the quintessential 80s asshole. You know, yeah. and that just comes up over and over. And I just find that comical because had I gotten in just, you know, Revenge of the Nerds, which I could have done just as well. As a nerd, that's would have been my legacy. It's just weird how it kind of happens. But I don't know. I remember when I did Back to School, and I was doing The Equalizer at the same time, and then they offered me Back to School, and I go, this would be the third bad guy I played. And then I remember going to Edward Woodward, who's Equalizer. I'm like, can I ask your opinion? I said, I just got offered Back to School. You know, I just did two bad guys and another one in European Vacation, the smaller part. I go, they just offered me this part. And he said, well, there's three reasons you take a movie, a part. He goes, one, the role is so great, you'll do it for free. You can't turn it down. Two, the people you're working with are so amazing that you have to work with them. Or three, it's the money. Because if it's one of those three, do it. And I'm like, well, it's two of those three. It's the people, it's the money. It's not, you know, the character. But then I'm like, okay, but now I'm going to go and I'm going to play another bad guy. So I'm like, I don't want to just be a two-dimensional bad guy. I think, honestly, I fought being the bad guy and tried to find a broken, hidden compartment of something that you could kind of see through so that he's transparent and not just a two-dimensional dick, which people get confused between a bully and like a real good villain. Because a real good villain believes in his worldview. A real good villain thinks he's right. A real good villain isn't conscious that he's a dick.
So just one of the guys, you couldn't build that.
I tried to just make him I kind of tried to make him stupid a little bit. Like he's just a little, he calls people tulip, you know? I mean, he's just, you know, that chump stain through putting on my shoes. I mean, you know, couldn't do it too much in just one of the guys for sure. But Back to School, I actually made him really funny. And I'm halfway through the filming, Alan Mater, who directed it, literally came to my trailer. He goes, you're coming off really funny in this. And I said, yeah, I know it's a comedy. He goes, no, you're the bad guy. You got to be more of Johnny. You got to be more of the dick. I'm like, yeah, but I had this walk and I had this strut and I wore a scarf and like you see it in some scenes. Like, but I was like really pompous. I was kind of like the Cowardly Lion, really puffed up, you know, like, and kind of just that guy. And they cut around, really, they cut around so much of my funny and they tried to just shape me, you know. So I don't know. It's like, but hey, listen, I don't know. You know, you just,
one for the money once and I regret it.
You did? Which one was
one
that?
Project, Forever, Ghost of a Love Story, Sean Young, Sally Kirkland,
yeah.
And Corey Feldman had dropped out of it last minute. They're literally courting me in Venice on a Friday and going, we'll throw this much at you and come to the set Monday. And I was like, sure, the price was right. But it wasn't the people and it wasn't the part.
Mm-hmm.
And I would recommend for actors 2 out of 3. Go like you have.
I agree.
2 out of 3. Because just the money.
No, that's
I don't think it's not worth. That's you're just a straight up whore. And it's tough to really.
Yeah.
I mean, if the money. I mean, if they're talking millions. If we're talking Vin Diesel turning down $20 million to do XXX2.
Right.
He's an idiot.
Yeah. That's not so smart. Because you can make 5 really good movies with
that. He made a few.
Right.
But he could have made 5.
Right.
You're right.
Right.
He made a few. But the one where he was in court.
Yeah.
He's got the fat suit on.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the kind of thing that I'm sure he could have done a few of those after the triple X paycheck. So sometimes if they really throw something absurd at you and they're like, you're ruined forever. You're going to be Green Hornet. Sorry.
Green
Hornet.
Right. Exactly.
Would you do a superhero movie?
Hell yeah. In a heartbeat. I think I'd be funny as shit in a superhero movie. I'd love to be in Kick-Ass, the new one. Like, I'd love to be like you know, something like that.
I like Sin City and that's I think I'm way more badass than I am. I'm basically a nerd, but I think I'm all tough shit.
Yeah. Right. Which is funny, though. But, like, do you see Kick-Ass, right? Did you see Kick-Ass?
I love
Dude, that movie is freaking ridiculous, man. I mean, that was awesome. Yeah, I'd love that. I'd do a fun superhero, for sure. Or a villain, but a superhero.
Did you really study Tung Sudo?
I did for the movie, and then I trained after that. I was trained. Yeah, my trainer was awesome. He's like became like another dad, and I trained for 5 years after that.
Wow, that was what I took. I got bullied, and
you did
in school, and I took. Signed up for karate in Malibu, and it was Tung Sudo.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great one.
I never got into a confrontation.
Yeah,
again, I never did after studying that.
Neither have I, actually. Funny
Isn't that
enough.
Interesting?
Yeah, I got in a lot of like not a lot, but I had fights growing up.
Honest, I think that's the power of it. It sets your head straight on that, on conflict.
It does. It takes away your instinct to, like, I don't know, your pride or whatever. Like, you know, whatever that is. I haven't been in a fight since Karate Kid.
Caller, you're still here with us. We didn't forget about you.
There's a caller here?
Did people try and fight you after the movie? Like, seriously?
No. I had a guy who I knew from high school who called me up and he said, there's a real karate gang in the valley that wants to fight you.
We Cobra Kai, you not Cobra Kai.
And I go, and he goes, I just want you to know that I told him that you're like the nicest guy I've ever met and now they're not looking for you anymore. But they were looking for you to fight you. I'm like, that is ridiculous. Are you serious? Yeah. I had one guy come in Jerry's Deli. You remember Jerry's Deli? I used to live there. Those Rubens, I don't do them anymore, but forget about it. But some dude just called me out, came over to the table and started saying all this stuff. I'm like, dude, you don't know me. I go, if you actually got to know me, we'd probably be buddies. I go, but you want to look at me and you're so, you know, so shallow. You see me as a character in a movie. I said, then let's go outside. I go, or you could sit down and you can eat with us and we'll chat. And he's like, all right, I'll sit down.
Oh, great.
We'll see. You know, that was it. I did get in a really gnarly fight though with a real gang with 10 or 12, maybe 15 guys in the valley. And I was defending a kid in a Denny's restaurant. Me and my buddy, and these gang guys came in and started throwing some guy around in Denny's. My buddy got up and went over and they pushed him back. And then I walked out and there was only two of them in the restaurant. And then they started marching towards me and I backed up into the doors and there was three of them in the doors. And then they threw me into a hornet's nest and it was actually a gang initiation night and they were jumping in their new guys. So all the old guys were just like tatted up and just like, and then I got thrown into a hive of probably 10, 15 guys. Elbows, knees, bam, ba-ba, you know. And swept all their legs.
You did.
Quick back knuckle. They all ran like sissies. But no, that's true.
Spinning back knuckle.
Yeah, spinning back knuckle. Tung Sudo. I got in my karate stance.
I almost took my teacher's head off during a sparring session.
You did?
Spinning back knuckle. And he ducked. Just in time. He's like, that was good. That was close.
Yeah.
I had a crazy psycho Irish 5'6" Bob Burbage. He was a five-time fighting, like sparring guy.
Yeah.
And we had another guy.
Bob Burbage.
Yeah. Bob's gone, but
I knew Bob. Him.
You knew Bob. He was he taught me how to fight.
You know, I have
and,
to say.
And Gold, Brett Gold was the forms instructor.
I know Brett Gold. Yeah.
Brett was my forms guy and Bob was the fighting guy.
So do you know Roger Lacombe? Any chance?
Oh, that was the next board up.
Yeah, no, not the next board up. He was like he had a cousin dojo in Thousand Oaks.
No, I just did the Malibu stuff, which was
those were the guys.
Me
those guys
and Jake Busey and Gabe Jarrett.
Oh, funny.
And,
those guys
Matt
were on
Latanzi.
The set. Those guys were all on the Karate Kid set, man. Yeah. All those guys. Were you doing martial arts like event before Karate Kid?
No, I was about 15 or 16. So what year? That's it. That's the year.
83, 4.
Yep.
Well,
and that was the solution to not getting punched in the stomach on the playground.
Oh, you're on TV.
Wait, boom. See, that's exactly what I'm talking about, because you're asking would I ever put my kid on TV. Like, you grew up like that. Not like that, but I mean, how was that being... Because I wasn't a child star or child, you know, I did commercials. They're like, oh, yeah, I saw
you. Yeah, but that's the same, about the same level.
It is.
The commercials.
Really? Yeah, but you're on television shows.
You know, a couple here and there, not a real big series. I did. The Waltons was the closest. It was a year.
But you were on a lot of stuff. So everybody knew you were the
year. For the year. So that's about equal. It's really the.
But when you're a kid, that stuff's so blown up. You know, like when you're a kid, it's like, hey, that kid's on TV. Did you deal with stuff because you were an actor? Or was it just because you pissed people off because.
A couple of other actor kids and kids of other actors. A lot of my friends' parents were actors and people in the business, like Patty Duke or Gary Busey. Or,
right.
You know, they get it. And they're going to be joining shortly.
Yeah.
And they would be, you'd be in the first classes they're in and you'd see them book their first jobs. And you got 10 years under your belt or so.
Right.
You're 15 at this time.
Right.
But I wanted the movies. That was my big thing. I wanted to be in the movies. And TV was a good jumping part. But it was theater combined with TV equaled...
Right.
Film.
Right.
But for me, that's finally in high school. I went to Samo High, great theater program there. And they had, we did four shows that year and I was in three of them. And I learned that from there, I learned how to prepare and how to, because back in the 80s, remember they said there was a difference? You're either a TV actor.
Oh, yeah.
Or you're a film actor.
Exactly. Yeah.
You couldn't, and it was Bruce Willis and Moonlighting hadn't like quite happened
yet. Yeah, that was
And Moonlighting to Die Hard hadn't happened yet.
For sure. Right.
So I was trying to make that break, and I had a couple of years after my grandpa died in 84. Why I'm talking like I'm from New York, I don't know.
Because it feels like New York down here, downtown Los Angeles.
It does. In downtown, it does feel like
New York. It does. When I pulled up, I'm like, the only thing I'm missing is like some taxi cabs screaming by honking. You know, maybe some smoke coming up from the subway. And a little, you know, chestnuts roasting on the open fire, maybe.
It's a flat desert. It's not the thriving, living, throbbing city that New York is.
I love New York City, man. I would do anything to live there.
I have a theory. New York is, it's just so, there's a flow and it's happening and it's crazy and there's people and food and everything. In LA, we just have all this time.
It's true.
And all this space and all this room. And nothing pushing you like it's pushing you in New York.
Totally true. It's all compressed in New York. I would do that. I mean, I come back from doing The Equalizer and I felt like I landed in Kansas. Everything is so far, you know, like New York, you get a cab, you go, and the energy's really alive there. Here, it's definitely like the air is out of the tire or something. It's like totally like, you know.
The air is out of the tire.
Yeah.
That's how I described her.
Yeah.
The air is out of the tire.
Air is out of the tire.
Dude, I will now do some total like stoner stuff.
Right.
Dude. What do you get recognized for most when people walk up to you?
Pythons.
Sure they do. I saw a great thing on YouTube and it's a reason why there's six snake movies. Boa, python, boa, but this super python, super... is because the snakes are easy and cheap in computer animation.
Oh,
there's no limbs to articulate. And there's no walk cycle.
Oh, that makes sense.
There's nothing that looks, that would jar the eye and you go, that's not how a gorilla moves or a super lizard.
Right.
But with no limbs, the snake's easy to animate.
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, they knock them off cheap.
That makes sense.
They did a review and the review loves Python and pythons. They say it devolves around Python versus
Python
boa.
2 is a disaster, man. It was like, it wasn't any, there was no fun in it.
Do you remember Richard Claybaugh and freaking out? And did you ever hear the voice commentary on the original Python that he did?
Okay. Who did?
He did, the director.
Yeah.
Did one, and it's the only one you ever hear that's critical of the whole. He is open about the limitations and the restriction, what happened and solutions they had to do. And the fun we had.
Yeah,
you have to hear just the commentary of Richard.
Where is that? Is that on the DVD?
On the DVD.
Okay.
And listen to his voice. And it's remarkable. It's a real insight into like overcoming with nothing in 3 weeks and making something like that happen.
Right.
And he it's blue too. He goes off.
Right.
And he's like, fuck. especially at the end, we were supposed to blow up the whole thing and they just hadn't taken the right reference shots and he had to like cut around this and that.
Yeah.
And he was pissed, but he's like, ultimately he was happy because it was what we'd done at the table read. We're like, that's the spirit of it really does carry through. We don't need to spend more on a snake. It's about, you know, watching Will Wheaton get killed.
Right.
Everything I've worked on with Will Wheaton, he's died. Tales from the Crypt, Toy Soldiers, Python, Will gets killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good. He's good. Do you die on screen? Do you like to die on screen?
I might die on. I don't think I died good on screen. I did one. I died a couple times. I don't remember. High Voltage. I did this crazy, crazy kind of LA movie with a bunch of people. Amy Smart and Lachlan Monroe. I played this biker dude named Bulldog. I have this huge, massive, dirty fight with Antonio Sabato Jr. And he kills me with a knife. And I think I was one of the worst death scenes of all time. but it wasn't me that was bad. It was like the way they shot it. Like it was like Face the Nation, man. They had the camera right up in my eyes. And I had to like my eyes had, it was one of those eyes had to open, you know, when the knife goes in. So I know I was in the moment, but I don't think it came off well on screen. Anyways, you know.
Who cares? Are you one of those actors that can watch your work, or are you one of those, I don't watch it?
I can watch my work, like, oh man, no, I'm like, even from the very beginning, like watching anything that I'm in, a premiere is the most nerve-wracking thing. It's not until it's saturated, it's been okay enough for a minute, and I can watch it again, you know, and then I can watch it. I can watch it myself, but I don't know. What about you? Do you?
I am a total egocentric narcissist, so I have no problems watching my work.
Really?
But after a while, it becomes totally abstract, and you don't remember the things that were cut. You don't remember the changes and the order difference. Right. You don't remember, you know, little things. At first, you do. You watch it, and you're like, dude, I remember every foot we rolled.
Right.
And you cut, when you're working, you cut it in your head.
Right.
You're
I know how I this is going to look like. Yeah.
Good. But the trust of a good director, I couldn't direct myself because I would. That's why I asked you about, like, you know, being an actor in something that you make. Do you go just trust yourself and go, I'm not even thinking about it. I'm just going to do it. Do my bit. Later, I'll go cut it. Yeah. And see what happened. Yeah. Or do you, you know, put pressure on yourself? Is that, or because for me, it would be like, that's a ringer part. You're like, you're sitting here focused on the directing and editing and all, and let's light it and it's a nice frame. And
right.
And are we on budget? Okay, cool. Yeah. And then, oh, I got to act. You don't even remember. You go in, you do your bit and you're like, oh, that's great. Or do you, you know, do you judge? Do you go, oh, I should have changed that, or I should have not done that? I mean, I guess you said, you know, sometimes it doesn't read. You know?
If it's really, like, the thing I'm doing now is just really fun. I'm doing both. And I have a team of guys that know what they're doing that I completely trust. So, like, no, the Appomattox is coming up. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm talking about the little test pilot I'm shooting. Just really funny. It's a spoof on Hollywood and it's ridiculous. And it's about agents and actors, and we'll talk about it anyway. I was going to talk to you about it because just do something in it. It's really fun.
I did a little short where agent.
You played an agent?
Fired. Yeah, I played an agent.
All right.
And the actor comes to fire me.
Right.
I give him paragraph 6, and I'm like, no, come in. I'll give you your headshots, your pictures. It's fine.
Wait, who comes to fire you?
The actor.
Oh, the actor's coming to fire you?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I saw that. It's funny as heck. Yeah, don't you get killed?
I kill him.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you just whine. You want your bagels and your trailer. And no.
I love that, dude. I think you sent me that. Or how did I see that?
I did. I think I might email it to you.
Yeah, that was really funny. Yeah, that was great.
Because really, I want to kill the agents. I mean,
honestly, yeah, yeah.
These
yeah.
actors, you're like, you try to blame somebody.
Right.
Why am I not working? Fuck.
Right.
It's their fault.
Right.
But really, we, you know, when we get the opportunity to audition for all these things, we're like, no, we always had every opportunity. Honestly.
Yeah.
I got to audition for The Artist.
You did? Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Is that weird?
Which part?
Napoleon.
Wow.
It wasn't in the movie. It was a part where an extra is Napoleon.
That's
crazy. Ordering the crew around. Bring the chair. And they're like, you're an extra. Go wait over there. And they cut it. But I...
Wait, you did it? You were?
No, I auditioned on YouTube. A private video sent to the casting director.
Wow.
And I wore the whole
outfit. Is that still online or no? That was just a private.
It's a you have to have the link. But
are you still doing your 365 day thing?
No, I did like 191, and I took a hiatus.
Come on,
I got so.
That was crazy what you were doing. I mean, I was watching them. That was like intense. That's a lot of work and prep, and you have to do that every day.
I totally had to put a pause on that, but I'm going to come back to it because
so
it
you
was
have
really
a, you have another half. You're almost halfway.
Yep. I'm a little over halfway.
That was fun. I enjoyed that. So
thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, for sure.
I just put up, we did the Child Celebrities.
Oh, is that out already?
Cameron.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
great. And yeah, we fired up every Christian in the nation.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
What is it?
But Kirk loved it. He said it was funny.
Of course, he's got good nature.
Yeah. And that was got great links off of the Funny or Die thing to awesome. Some other stuff. I had done this redneck review. So it's this guy. It's like, this movie's great.
Right.
And, she's really hot. And then he goes into like film discourse. He's like, and then the subtext, the hero's journey.
Right, right.
And then he goes back to being a redneck. And I started, it was like my first foray into literally improv. Like trying, because I'd studied it back in the day, but I always had a fear. I needed my script and prepare and do my notes and be, you know, then get to the set and the whole trappings. Right. I got really did get addicted to the bacon, egg, ham, and cheese sandwich. And can we get you anything? And you threw hair and makeup and you're taking the tissues and you go and you block and the whole deal. If they blocked it with stand-ins before I got to set, I'd be pissed. I'm like, I want to make those choices.
Right.
I want to go stand up here on that line instead of over here or whatever. I'd get pissed. I love being involved in the process.
Yeah.
And dude, making movies is fun, isn't it?
It's fun, man. It's fun.
How do you edit? What do you edit on?
I'm Final Cut guy.
Cool.
Not Avid. I know they're close, but yeah, I started cutting on Final Cut when it first came out. But I started editing. Like I was making 8mm films when I was 10. Like I've got films. I'm sure you've got that too, right? Probably. But
video stuff as well.
But I got 8mm films. When I was 10 years old, I was making movies like Star Wars stuff. And like I'd shoot the laser and I would actually go on the film itself and like carve out lightning, or, you know, the lightsaber and stuff and like manually and splice it together. And then I went through that whole film thing, and then I started cutting on 3/4-inch decks and linear editing, which is like not non-linear where you can do the last scene first and everything. Like you got to go perfectly in a row, and I would cut that way. So I went through all of it. So then I got into Final Cut, and I love it. And it was just kind of a hobby, and I just did it for fun because I was starting to shoot music videos, and I was like, I just want to be able to play around. I hate sitting with an editor and bugging them and going, oh, try this, try that. You know, like, it'd be better if I can just know how to move it around. So I started sliding stuff around, and then I'm like, oh, this is really fun.
I would imagine being an actor and the rhythms, the timings, that would help you as an
everything.
Editor.
Everything, yeah. And I'm a musician, and that helps too. I play guitar.
Oh, beat, melody, pause, counterpoint, rest.
Sounds like a book title.
Is it dialogue? Is it music? Are we talking? It's, you know, there's a lot of similar things. And also storytelling, verse, chorus, verse, bridge. Bridge is the car chase.
Right.
The action sequence, bringing you into the third act, wrapping it up back to where you began.
It's music. It's math, like, and storytelling.
So
it really is. It's like, and it's charges. It's like electricity, positive and negative charges constantly. Reversals, all the way to the end with the climax, with an epiphany and a tag and credits and good billing and an egg sandwich.
And a likable, attractive guy.
Right.
Hero.
And a hero.
I hate when asshole. I hear people tell me of like, I got this idea. It's these two guys. And they're like, I don't want to hear about that. What would you click on? That's the thing. It's like on Netflix, there's 100 billion things to watch.
Yeah.
Old, new. And I'm like, mm-hmm. It's like just too much product in front of me.
It's true. Yeah. That's totally changed. I mean, that's different from
Human Centipede 2. Do I click on it?
Right.
Subject myself to that or not? Saw? Are you a Saw fan?
I've never seen a Saw fan. I've never seen a Saw movie. I got sucked into... I'm not a horror kind of dude. What did I get sucked into? I've never seen a Saw fan. Are you a Saw fan? Maybe I have seen it.
I am. I love gore. I love body horror, which is like... Videodrome and stuff like that. I love when people's bodies get hurt.
I got sucked into it. I got totally duped, man. It was a great one. What was it called? Shoot. A bunch of guys are like Brazil or something, and they're like they're in some adventure, and
they're taking organs.
Yes. What's that movie called? Not Hostile.
No.
Anaconda?
Let no one know or no.
It was like a one word name.
Who was in it?
Yeah.
Nobody was in it. I mean, not.
Turista.
What is it?
Turista.
Yes, Turista. Thank you.
And you didn't know.
I didn't know what I was watching.
Did you like it? Did you have fun? Or were you terrified?
I got sucked in, and it gave me chills. I mean, literally, all I saw was a bunch of, you know, beautiful people on a beach. And I'm like, oh, I want to watch this. This looks like a fun adventure movie or something. And it got darker and more twisted and not, you know, so, you know, I don't know. I thought it was
Train fun. Is good. It's kids.
What is it?
Train.
train?
It's kids in Europe mm-hmm. on a train. No. And they're like, it's the cheap, you know, day fare ticket, whatever. We're going to go through a couple countries.
Okay.
And there's another car on the train with these aristocrats. Very rich, and they don't talk to them. Another upper class, okay? People start missing on the train. They're kidnapping the young people and taking their organs, and the rich people are getting organ transplants on it.
On the train?
On the train. It's actually great.
Is it? Was this ever in the theater, or is this like one of those finds?
It was like, could have skirted and kind of done a drive-by of the theaters, and then it wound up on video, I found it was a treasure. It was of the top class of those kinds of horrible movies.
Yeah, yeah.
In the canyon, you gotta see the canyon.
I think it would be fun to do a horror movie just for fun, but like, something really ridiculous. Something, it have to be so scary it's funny. Not scream funny, but like so absurd, like, you know, I don't know.
Just over grotesque, Evil Dead
something
kind of
like,
funny.
So, yeah, but not funny on purpose. Like fun, like it's so scary that it makes you laugh. That kind of funny.
Nervous, near death, fear like, laugh.
Like, yeah, like the absurdity of it. But I don't know. It's pretty, I mean, horror movies have gone so far. I mean, it used to be like David Lynch's kind of like suspense. Oh, he's, you know, like what was it? The movie Sherilyn Finn it was in.
And in the box?
Well, that one too. But there's another one where the car's winding around this canyon and there's a car overturned. And they get out of the car and the wheel's still spinning. And it's just dark and foggy. And then this girl comes out and she's kind of stumbling around and you're like, oh, that's freaky. Then she turns and like her whole half of her head's like practically gone. And like, that's scary, you know, that's like leaks on you. Like this kind of shock, sensational horror. I don't know. I think it's fun if you, I don't know. It's just a little much for me.
Gore porn. It's just kind of like,
that's an idea.
I don't know. But, you know, I don't know. Betsy Russell's a, you know, old dear friend of mine. You know Betsy?
Really? No, I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
I
love Betsy. Yeah, we had an audition together years ago. That's how we met. We're Facebook friends now.
Facebook friends with, first on Facebook, and I waited. It was like people, Facebook. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. It's waste of time. Oh, yeah. God. And I finally signed on. And I was like, oh, and school friends and stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, who's having kids? Oh, that's great.
Right.
And then it turned into all the people I'd worked with and
yeah.
I was like exploring that. And then fans, you're like, deal with that.
See, I don't have any of my fans. Everybody on my Facebook I met in my life. I got 900 people that I go, oh, I'll add you. I know every one of them. Maybe one or two snuck in and I didn't know, or they were friends of like 100 of my friends. And I'm like, oh, I must have met them, so I'm going to let them in, you know? But like mine was set up just for my family only. And I've got messages and I've got lists of people that have wanted to be my friend. Like, I don't know how many, probably at least 1,000, I would guess now.
Oh, wow.
And I every day I'm like tempted to go, why don't I just, you know, add everybody? But then, you know, then it's like you could see what my mom is and my nieces, and it's just weird. I don't dig it, you know.
Are you still friends with Mark Sussman?
I'm very good friends with Mark Sussman.
He's a good man.
I just saw him last night. You want to call him right now?
Yeah, get him in on the mix.
You guys did stand-up stuff together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the night you came into the Friars Club.
I remember, yeah, yeah.
I was the idiot that said, everyone's kissing your ass, going, oh, Johnny, just Karate
that was
Kid.
That was my birthday, man.
I'm like, hey, man, just one of the guys.
Right, I remember. You know Sussman, though.
Just, yeah, through comedy.
Through comedy, yeah, yeah. I just saw him last night at this event.
Is he still married?
Yeah. Right. He's got 1.5 kids. He's got a little boy, my boy's age, and a little girl coming.
He's a good, good man.
He's a good dude, yeah, for sure.
One of the nicest people I've met.
Yeah. He was the first friend I met when I moved from New York to LA. And he lived just down the street from me. And we've been best friends ever since. Yeah, see, I got like personal stuff up there. Sometimes I'm tempted to take all my family stuff off and just open it up and make it more of a fan page, you know? But then it's like,
do a separate, because then you could get up to the limit and everything.
Yeah.
Create a little fan page and let everybody in there and update them and promote and, you know, give them little inside videos on behind the scenes of working and stuff. They'll love to see that kind of shit.
Yeah,
And then this is for, you know, your meat space, as I call it, in real life people.
Yeah, it's funny though. I have so many, you know, people like, they treat it like it's your phone, you know, or like your email. It's like, dude, email me.
Like me with you. I was communicating so bad tonight.
I know.
No. I understood because I would go 3-4 days without checking it too. And I'll be like, oh, yeah. I wonder, you know, I realize that.
I'll get messages. I'll get alerts from Facebook, but I'll get like, I have a stream of them. I have to scroll down to find like conversations and stuff. So I just don't. Plus I got 5 emails and I got cell phone and a 2-year-old.
The 2-year-old, wow.
That's the best, man.
You're where being a dad pretty good.
Dude, I love it, man.
You look like you love
him. I freaking love it, man. He's so great.
How did the wife's show go last week?
Good, very good. She's a dancer, and she was actually assisting the head choreographer on a show. So she wasn't in it. She was just helping put it together. She does ballet and jazz. So she was just, so show went well.
Where'd you guys meet?
We met at a karaoke bar. I asked her for pretzels. She forgot it. I told her that afterwards. I'm like, hey, you know, you need to come by my place sometime. We have jams like every Friday night, you know. She's like, oh, I play guitar, I sing. I'm like, cool. So I'm like, yeah, it's like a big group of people. And then I invited her on a night when it wasn't really happening and she showed up and it was just me. I'm like, yeah. I go, it's just me tonight.
It's a party.
Yep. And that was that. And then we dated for a long time. And then I moved to Europe for a minute. Came back and pulled the trigger. Jumped off the cliff.
Have you lived out in LA the whole time, ever since the 80s or whatever?
Yeah, and funny enough, my whole family left me. Like, my brother moved to Nashville, my sister and my folks moved up near Tahoe, and, you know, I kind of feel like all of a sudden, I'm realizing I'm going home for, you know, for the holidays and birthdays, and, like, I'm leaving here, and I'm like, you know, and they're like, I wish you didn't live so far. I'm like, you guys left. So, yeah, but New York was till I was 10.
Well, good luck on putting everything together.
Thank you on
finishing it. I loved editing. That was one thing, and I couldn't even when I played with nonlinear editors. I would still go front to back and build a scene, to beat moment to moment. And yeah, sometimes you're like, I know I'm going to use this a couple of pieces of this one shot,
right?
And so I'd leave a little, you know, I'd kind of cut it up, but I would still build it. Moving forward. And I know technically sometimes with music cues and other reasons you need to work back to front too.
Right.
But haven't never pushed that learning curve to the hardcore kind of editing stuff.
Are you cut? Do you cut now? Like, do you cut your own stuff?
So pussy. I use like QuickTime movie. I mean, there's nothing too technical. I haven't attempted the big challenge or because I figure it would be 2 years at least. And that's fully focused, funded, you know, boom, from script to producing to making it in post and working on and getting it out there at least. And it's like, it has to be something you're willing to put that time in and go, you know, this is a statement or this is something I want to. And I've written and tossed away so many things that I'm like, well, maybe after I start making money at this, people will give me money to take this
series. Didn't you do that like web series or something that was really funny with a bunch about Hollywood kind of too? And you played you in it.
We did Crafty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was so fun.
But was that like a web series, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And didn't you produce that too, or were you just in it?
Just in it. And the production was, you know, light, but I did like the fact that they rented out a stage down in like Marina Del Rey or near airport or something like that. And I was like, oh, you have a stage. I'm like, that's it. He's like, yeah. And we got to get out of here by this time and everything like that. But it added a sense of professionalism to it. And all, you know, SAG stuff. And I was like, if you're, you know, I was looking at stuff when people approach me, I'm like, is it a union? Because I'm 37 years, I'm not going to jeopardize that for, you know, new media. And he's like, yeah. And I loved it. And I was like, okay, you had the Adrian Grenier and the Kevin Connolly. And we had so much fun with the Kevin Connolly and the Casey thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Me replacing him. Yeah, and the studio executives not noticing.
Right.
Like, the ratings are the same. They're not really... Didn't notice you were replaced.
Right. But you didn't physically, then you weren't producing that more. You weren't hands-on in the post and all that.
No, I came in and saw it as it went through stages. And they went through longer episodes and less of them.
Is this my mic?
Two more.
You got this and this.
Okay, I got mic on. I need to take a hiatus.
You do?
Yeah.
That's often understood.
So you guys chat, Ian.
Jeremy,
we need to hear more from you.
Help,
you guys are rolling right now.
No, but I know, but we need to hear more. I want to hear some stuff. Can you blast that, Jeremy, on the speakers while I'm leaving for 1 second? I'll be right back.
Earl knows when to take a second banana.
Where's this place?
You got to get the key.
Dude, good to have Billy Zapke in here. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, he does look really good.
Well, it's just like he did in the movies.
He's got to be older than me. No, I mean, I don't know how old this guy is.
Let's give a quick. He is, 44.
Okay, so he's born in like 68 or something.
65. So no, it's.
Oh, he's 47.
Which doesn't look it.
Not a day over 35.
Obviously.
Not even that.
Obviously, the Cobra Kai training methods are up to snuff.
Man. And in genuinely, it's like there's a... you could freak out on the set. You could have your diva moment. You know, you could be like, this isn't hot enough. Or this, you know, I'm... Mostly actors freak out because they're not prepared. And then they have a freak out. Like, let's say Lindsay Lohan might be going on to her new Elizabeth Taylor movie. And apparently, and this is allegedly... Reports from the set are she's not showing up on time. She doesn't know her lines. This is allegedly and through secondhand and third hand and whatnot. So I could be wrong. She could be doing great, but apparently there's challenges on that. And I'm opening a pool on whether she makes it through this shoot. I don't think she was ready. I think that playing someone who was an addict and maybe is a green light to do that as the part and doesn't. I don't think that she's ready to separate her from Elizabeth Taylor from what's going on. But on that note, this guy, Billy Zapka, is genuinely the fucking one of the nicest guys in the business. You know, and what's funny to me is he plays off the fact that he played jerks on, right. You know, like he said, 3-4 movies right there. He's the jerk. And that's how you remember how great. But you also knew he wasn't really one. And that's probably why you liked him so much.
Well, it's like in hockey, most of the fighters are the nicest guys on the team. They're the guys who do all the charity work and who are the fan favorites. And here their on-ice job is to kick ass. But, you know, I think the best bad guys are probably the nicest guys in Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just a bastard, Billy.
I know. I'm just such a prick.
Yeah.
Only when the cameras are rolling.
Thanks, Ian. That's very nice of you to say.
Seriously.
Can't believe you look great on the youth thing, and you must have a good, positive, optimistic outview on life. Outlook.
I think so.
Pretty happy guy.
I think so. Yeah, I'm very blessed, man. Absolutely, very happy. I love doing what I do. My dad told me, kind of like his secret. He's like, you know, find something you love to do, and you'll never work a day in your life. And so everything I do, I absolutely love, and whatever scale that's on, you know. Doesn't matter. It's for me, it's a creative release that's the same high whether a million people see it or nobody sees it. Just, you know, so yeah, I'm kind of constantly, you know, I mean, you know, I guess I have a positive outlook. And having, you know, having a little dude, that's always a great thing. There's nothing like that, man, you know, and they're copying you and everything. Like, what's the other days? He wanted macaroni and cheese, but I didn't have the kind he liked, you know? Yeah, he likes his little dinosaur macaroni and cheese. We had the regular macaroni and cheese, and the picture had a piece of parsley on it. He goes, I don't like that. I'm like, the parsley's not on the macaroni and cheese. I go, it's just the picture. No, I want the other kind. I'm like, this is the other kind. It tastes exactly the same. Because no, I want the other kind. And I go, and he goes, and then I go, okay. And I go, oh, and thank God I found one. There's like a, I'm like, okay, I found one. And he goes, Daddy, what's, I go, oh, I didn't even know he picked up that thing. I'm like, oh, I banged my finger, man. I go, you know, that doesn't feel good, you know? And then he's, he just copies everything. Like they're watching you. So it's like, all right, got him, you know, I don't know. Having a kid changes things sometimes, you know, but yeah, you know, it's all good, man. You too, though. You've always had optimistic. You've always had a smile on your face.
What's not to like about living in LA and,
right.
You know, doing what a lot of people wish they could do. And I really acknowledge that. I was lucky. I was born into it and landed in it through no.
Yeah.
Didn't have to, you know, move great mileage or, you know, yeah. The family sacrificed a bunch to come and do this.
It was I think that there's an advantage in that because, like, I know for me, like, you're not impressed by it. You see the wizard behind the Wizard of Oz from the very beginning. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's never like... something to be attained or achieved because you're just It was just matter of fact for you. So like, it was never, you didn't have the obstacle psychologically of like it being on a pedestal because you were like literally raised there. Do you know what I'm saying?
It was a business. It was raise your quote, get on this, then to the movie of the week. Then, oh, now we got some theatrical specials biting. Great. And it was a slow, steady build up to features.
Right.
And then how to manage that. And then, you know, falls apart in the 90s. And it's like, you know, you're 90, you're like 21, 22, 23 years old.
Right.
And got three big pictures out and you let an agent go, you shouldn't have.
Right.
Once again, Harry Gold, if you're out there, I'm so fucking sorry, man. Harry hooked me up, man. He did. And then after I let Harry go, it just...
Is that right?
Yeah, never really picked up again. And I blame myself being a dumb kid and not...
But see, you know what? You don't know. I did that too. I think I've been at every agency in Hollywood. I mean, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know so many meetings where I'm like, you know, this isn't working. But it's not working at that moment. And... I remember the agents I left was because I knew my buddies that were going out on movies that I didn't even know about. And I'm like, you know, that wasn't working for me. It wasn't like I didn't blame them because I wasn't getting stuff. It's like if they stop submitting you for things, then you have to kind of do that. But, you know, it's, So Harry, please call Keith. He's sorry, but it's not about that.
I got in touch with him and he goes, I'm not in charge anymore. I don't have really that much pull.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, "Yeah, you're full of shit," but that's cool. Thanks for good years.
Yeah, it was
a couple. We'd fired him once as a kid, some TV, and we did, and then we fired Harry. Right. We went with some other people, then we came back to Harry.
Right, right.
And then got the babysitting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Come on,
it
Harry.
All comes around, man. It's like, you know.
But no, I wanted one movie. I was going up for, you know, all of the stuff at the time,
right?
And even weird stuff like Just One of the Guys.
Right, right.
Went up for Buddy. I'll never forget that.
You'd have been a great buddy.
Going up for Chandler on Friends. Going up for weird, you know, and also inappropriate stuff like Farmer Ted, 16 Candles. There's no way. I was 2 years too, you know, younger than Anthony Michael Hall or whatever. There was no way to do that. Say anything. I'm doing a kickboxing speech or something talking about Friends. And I'm like, really? I'm 15 or 16 years old? What did you audition for that you really wanted that you didn't get?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Platoon. I met Oliver Stone, sat down at the W Hotel with him after reading the script. And he says, what'd you think of Platoon with a script? And I said, I think it was really, really violent. I said, and there's no, the thing I didn't like about it, and not that I don't like it, but there's nothing redeeming about the script. And he said, wow. He goes, that was brutally honest. And he goes, but you're right. And he goes, and that's what I'm trying to say, because there's nothing redeeming about the Vietnam War. And I'm like, wow. He goes, but I didn't get it. Still, but that Outsiders would have been fun. Oh yeah, man. What else did I read for? I had tons of stuff.
What did you read for in Outsiders? What part?
Casting people. It would have been Ponyboy.
Would have been Ponyboy.
Yeah, I think so. But it wasn't. I didn't. It was more of like a meeting, and I was an HFF, Hold for Francis, and I never got to meet Francis. So he was in New York casting. I met him in L.A. I met the casting people in L.A. But I think Platoon would have been the best. Oh, and another one, and I was just down to the wire, was wasn't a great movie, but it was Tony Scott, Tom Cruise movie.
Days of Thunder.
And it was Cary Elwes got the part. It was me, Chris Penn, and Cary Elwes rolling through that. We just in the waiting room, all three of us just like rolling and going and talking to Tony Scott, reading. And I was like, I was inches from that. The movie that I did do that, if it was, I wish was more successful, because that was a really fun movie. That would have put a change in, like, because that was my first good guy part. But it was called A Tiger's Tale. It was with Anne Margaret, Tommy Howells, Charles Durning, Anne Wedgeworth. Great cast. Peter Douglas directed it. We shot that in Texas. That was like a turning point role for me. I was really happy about that one. But it didn't happen. What was, I think I read for Samuel's Fire.
You did not.
Yeah, I did.
Were you weren't Brat Pack, were you?
No. I know, but that's kind of where they kind of came from in a way. I don't know. I don't think so.
Would you consider
that was Breakfast Club, and I don't even Cary Elwes isn't really Brat Pack either.
No, it's
a Breakfast Club kids, you know.
I wanted to talk to you about this, Earl. Do you remember, this is a bad movie, your favorite bad movies, but I had From the Hip with Judd Nelson.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I watched it. I was shooting Adventures of Babysitting in Toronto.
Oh, and you got cast.
And I was shooting Adventures of Babysitting in Toronto, and it was a week. It was kind of slow.
Right.
And From the Hip was playing down the street from the hotel, and I watched it 5 times that week. It was so bad, I was stunned. Yeah. I had to keep going back. there's something delicious about it in how bad it was. There's a last line in the movie where he nails the last line and he goes, he whispers into like the lead actor's ear and he says something. And you, to this day, I can never figure out what he says. And it's not like Lost in Translation good, where it's like, well, right. What did he say? It's right. Kind of like he mumbled and I don't.
Yeah.
It's supposed to, and the music comes up and you're like, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Right.
Do you have any good favorite bad movies that you like to put on?
Oh, yeah. But first, wait, I got one more that I auditioned for. It was Back to the Future for Biff. I read for that. And I was in the waiting room with Crispin Glover, who I then work again with, yeah. Finally get to work with him. And we laughed, whatever. He's such a funny guy. On the audition, this is classic. When he was reading for Back to the Future, he was covered in black paint. And I'm like, hey, man, we just met, you know. And I'm like, you got black paint all over you, you know? And he goes, I know, I've just painted my entire apartment black, and the roof and everything. I'm like, oh God, like the whole thing. He was awesome back then. You know, it's fun too. Like in those days, I bump into Charlie Sheen on everything. Oh, the other one was the Corey Haim movie.
License to Drive.
No.
Dream a Little Dream.
No, Lucas.
Oh,
so me and Charlie Lucas. Were up for Charlie. Lucas. And me and Charlie used to go on auditions all the time before I knew he was a Sheen. But Charlie and I would be in waiting room and we just rap all the time. We kind of became friends. And I never knew his last name. He was just Charlie. And then when it was Lucas, then it was like, that's when I found out, oh, he's Martin Sheen's kid and Emilio's brother. And like, I'm like, oh crap. But yeah, we both, and I was, so me and him were on Lucas. We were the last two dialing in and out of that door. So for every movie you've made, you know, you've had like 100 close calls, you know.
I read for Lucas.
You did?
And I remember walking packs, and it was the building where you walk past those bookshelves. Open hallway.
Yep.
Back into
it was a little stairway, and yeah. That's where I saw Charlie on that.
Yeah, that was the one. Haim got. I mean, for me, Corey is amazing in Lucas.
Yeah, that was his.
And Cary Grant is amazing in Lucas.
That was his first movie.
Film is yeah. He's I couldn't have done that.
I mean, he was so sweet.
He's emotionally accessible in a way that very few. There's a river here and there. There's a Corey Haim.
Yeah.
And there's kids like me and Feldman, and we've been around since we were in Hollywood as young kids. Haim was outside and came in and had, I thought, a really true talent. I mean, me and Corey, we're just for pros. Sure. We've learned how to do it and we got our bag of tricks and we keep up at it. But I thought Corey had something.
Well, I mean, he has that vulnerability thing going and kind of endears you to him. You know, the little kind of innocent, bright eyes, like, you know, you want to protect him kind of thing.
Yeah. Glad you're a survivor of all that and didn't take the coke while you're peeing at Sunset Boulevard and didn't.
I never even thought crossed my mind to. I remember somebody was like, "Hey Billy, you want a party 80s style?" I'm like, "What's that?
Party 80s style?"
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm glad I didn't do that. I mean, that was just with my life, you know. I mean, I know guys that did that and got really sucked up in it and watched them burn and bounce back, you know. But that was like a big, like, don't do drugs was like driven into me from the time I was a kid, you know, so much. And I don't know, never appealed to me. It really just never appealed to me, you know.
Keith Coogan bringing it down here on the call sheet.
Bringing it down, Keith Coogan.
What a great thing you've done, Billy. Thanks for coming on to the call sheet.
Thanks for having me. It's nice to be on a call sheet.
See, remember looking the first day of shoot, you get on and you're like, I don't know my deal memo. I remember my contract. Where am I? What number am I on the freaking call sheet?
Right. You see like 1, 2, 4, and 7, and then you're number 56, you know?
And it's like start, work, finish.
That's right. Start, work, finish. Exactly. Yeah. No doubt. That's funny though. Those days, like I remember, sure, the call sheet was like, oh yeah, I'm there. It doesn't matter, man. It's a call sheet.
I know.
But this call sheet's different. This call sheet matters.
It is a collaborative art form.
Yeah.
You get 50, 100 people helping you make something. And it does take money, even with the new technologies and stuff. It still takes a bit of resources and a lot of sweat and blood and tears. So I have great respect for you to get into the cave and to light the candles.
This is a great way to, you know, to re-catch up. Now we got to go and teach your buddy that kip. If he's still listening, we got to get him out to the park and teach him how to do that back kip from the karate thing.
Never do the back kip.
Film it. YouTube it.
Film it. Yeah, that's that'd be a pretty funny instructional video, wouldn't you think? It's like, hey, everybody, it's Billy Zabka. I'm going to show you guys how I did the kip. I want to do that. You know what? Here, I got to tell you something, man. I got so many funny ideas for some of the stupidest stuff. I want to do this thing. I made myself laugh one day, and my wife thought I was crazy. I did this forever. I'm like, I just want to do cooking with Billy Zabka. And I just want to do a thing where I'm like, hey, everybody, just when it's good morning, it's, you know, it's 7 o'clock. I said, we're going to make breakfast together. Said, you know, don't sweat it. Don't ask to be, it doesn't have to be anything, you know, doesn't have to be fancy. You know, we just get a couple eggs. Go, here are my eggs. You know, you can get three. If you want to have four, that's fine. I'd start with three just because you don't want to get, you don't want to get too full. You know what I mean? In the morning, you can always add something later. I like to put the little bacon on. The bacon takes a little longer to cook than the egg. So you want to get that cracking right away. And while that bacon's cracking, you know, it's a good time to go over and check your emails, see if there's anything that's kind of come in right now. I'm checking mine. Okay. All right. So, I forgot about that. Okay, so let's go check on the bacon. It's cracking now. You got to be real careful because if it could really burn if you just let it go on one side. So you want to flip them as much as you can. Keep that thing. The smell's really nice. You might want to close the windows if you enjoy the smell of bacon. I do. Now the eggs. Now we got three eggs here. You can do it sunny side up. You can do it over easy. You can mix some cheese in it if you want. Personally, I like to do it over easy. I'm going to do that, show you how to do that, and show you a little trick on how to get that. You just make the boringest fucking cookie thing that just goes on and on and on and on. Just because you go watch that stuff, you know, like, yeah, now we're going to pour some juice. You know, in the morning, why waste a nice glass? You're just going to have to do it later. Get a paper cup. No one's watching. Get a nice paper cup. Eat on paper plate. Throw it away when you're done. You know, and I did this whole thing, but it, you know, just on and on, just, I don't know, just,
it's casual chef.
Just the casual, yeah, but I have all these stupid, funny ideas for like just throwing online, like teaching, like, hey, I'm going to teach you guys how to do the triple Lindy today. You know, we're going to, here's the three boards and, you know what I mean? I don't know. I think there's people watching it. With this world that we live in now, like internet and smartphones, like, it's just like everybody, it's just crap everywhere. It's just so much shit that they can't make enough of it. And it's
give
like,
give it to them. I say make it and don't say no and keep saying yes. That's and do what, fun stuff.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I don't know. We're here to fucking entertain people. So.
That's right.
They're obviously the aliens have come to kill us.
We're being invaded. It's the Art Bell show.
We are good on the hour.
That's a good show.
I don't know. Jeremy, are we good here? Should we wrap it up?
You can do whatever you want, man.
I think that was a solar whatever.
Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits. What? I'd love language. George Carlin.
Oh, yeah.
Up. And that's the one thing I love about Skid Row Studios here is you can say whatever you want.
Right.
There's still like, you know, don't
say
talk.
Say what you want.
You get sued because someone could hear this. And
right.
He said, what about me?
Right.
My balls were what? So we, you know, and I also, it's one thing is not to talk shit about people.
Right.
Don't dish dirt. You like having dirt dished about you, but our listeners love hearing dirt.
Sure. In moderation.
Yeah. I mean, do you have any dirt on Larry B. Scott?
I do have some dirt on them. Yeah. But I just saw Larry. I can't really, he'd be really upset. I'm sure he's listening right now. Larry, what's up, buddy? We'll talk.
I mean, he played that gay character in Revenge of the Nerds a little too good.
Yeah, I'll let him talk to you about that.
Is he Lamar?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not.
Lamar.
It's Lamar.
But he was a Cobra Kai. So he was, you know.
He was a Cobra Kai. Somebody just mentioned that to me. Like, when was he in Cobra Kai first or was he a nerd first? I say he was a Cobra Kai first. Then we lost and he became a nerd.
Yeah, I mean, he got beat up in the studio once.
Well.
Yes.
You know, Cobra Kais go on and make movies and direct and write. Yeah. Nerds do too. Timothy Busfield was a nerd and he's obviously a great director.
That's right.
Still got the chops as the actor too. That's great to see Timmy.
Yeah. Keith Coogan. Gordon. Back to School.
Oh God, I went up for director. Chocolate War.
He's a great director.
That's one of my favorite movies.
And I didn't, first I went up for also, what was The Winter's Tale or The Winter?
Yeah, I know what you
mean. What was that one called?
The first one he did, I forgot. I totally forgot.
Christine.
No, that was as an actor, as a director. It was great.
White Winter something. Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Heavy duty. Ethan Hawke did that.
Yeah.
And Chocolate War was
so heavy.
John Glover. Great. He's one of the, I think he's the second best bad guy in the 80s next to you.
Oh,
I really mean that.
Gremlins 2.
52 pickup with Aunt Margaret.
Yeah, the Earl will pull a name that I was like, oh my God, where'd you pull that out of your ass? Yeah,
but John Glover is just so mannequin with Andrew McCartney.
Mannequin.
No, I'm just, that's Eshot Taylor. I'm sorry.
Anything coming out you want to see? Avengers? Do you see movies? Do you go out to movies? Do you watch at home? How do you watch?
I love going to the theater. I haven't seen a movie in the theater in a while. I haven't seen any of the new stuff that's out. I haven't seen, I don't know, what's the Hunger Games? I haven't seen that. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I saw Hunger Games.
I haven't really seen many things. Yeah, I don't know. I go to the theater and see stuff, but I haven't seen anything really lately. I got all the Oscar films sent to me, and I didn't see anything in the theater, so I watched them all at home.
You know. Watch War Horse. Did you see that?
I didn't see War Horse.
I've talked about this a few times on the show. At the end, he does like the World War One trench fighting.
Yeah,
and he's done, you know, Normandy, storming the beaches and such. But there, he does these. It's not quick cuts. It's not stuff where you can't tell what's going on, and it's all close up and like moving around shaky cam.
Right.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Wide. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Moving lyrical shots with. 1,000 guys every 6 seconds, another shot. 1,000 guys.
Yeah.
You technically, and I realize I go with Spielberg. Bet you no one even twisted an ankle on that damn thing. And it looks like madness and chaos.
My folks saw that and they told me to see it. That was the one I didn't see.
It's a crier.
I love the Clooney movie that was the
Descendants. I have the Descendants on Netflix. That's right really now. Great. I've got it on DVD and I'm gonna.
My favorite movie I've seen in years was Midnight in Paris, Woody Allen. It's just the most. Awesome, smart, up, fun, breath of fresh air. I mean, I love
that. Hemingway. This is great.
Love that movie. I got sucked into that. I did not. That was like, I haven't seen a movie that I didn't want to end in a long time, and that was one of them. That was it, actually.
I like Woody's Paris movies. I like
Paris anything. Movies. I love going to Europe with Woody. He's got it down there, you know. Yeah.
A Woody Allen movie would be cool to be a part of.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Where do you take your kid? What do you do with your kids? You go see games? You go,
Haven't gone any, we got to a football game, but high school games. We haven't gone a bit. We're going to go Dodgers. We got, a friend of ours got some good seats there for us. We do the zoo a lot. He loves the zoo. He loves the beach. We do a park a day. He loves a train museum. He loves horses. He loves riding horses. We go and take him to the stables and the guys down there will let him get on a horse. He's an amazing athlete. I mean, he plays, I'll show you on my phone, man. We got him a soccer ball and it came out of the freaking box and he starts dribbling it. He hits pitches. I pitch to him. He's two. He hits, I'll pitch it to him from 5-6 feet away and he'll crack the thing. Now he's running bases and we got a basketball hoop in the house and we play basketball. He plays all sports. He's just like a little, he's really a little athlete. So we play everything. And we have a pool. We swim with him. He jumps. He's crazy in from the pool. So, yeah, I love everything, man. Everything. Ice cream. We love ice cream. We love our round table pizza ice cream night.
Nice.
Yeah. And he'll sit there and he'll eat his ice cream. And then I'll say, what are you doing, buddy? He goes, I'm enjoying my ice cream.
Like, you're enjoying your ice cream?
Has he seen your movie yet? I mean.
No, but he has seen me. Yeah, he's seen something on. He's like, that's daddy. You know, he'll see it, but he doesn't, you know.
Right.
You know, we turn it off right before the last kick in the Karate Kid. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, yeah. No. We don't want him to see that happen yet. You know what I mean?
No, Old Yeller ends right when they take him out to the back. Yeah, and then it ends. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Good. Showing your kids your movies and sitting down with, it's not like, I'm a Beatle. I want to sit down and show you, you know, I'm a Beatle.
Right, right.
But you are eventually have to show down and, you know, those things that people scream at daddy when we're driving down the road every once in a while.
Right.
Like, what, daddy, what's sweep the leg mean? And he'll, you know, hopefully you give him the same perspective that you had because obviously you're, got your head on your shoulders. And you notice I have guests on this show, Earl, that, actually are survivors of this industry. I think that's fascinating to people. Well, you're either dead or you kind of figure out a way to make it. Obviously, not getting trapped or tricked or too involved into the show and the Hollywood of it all as part of it. And you've never ever even had an inkling of that. And it's something that I can tell that you truly genuinely love to do.
Oh yeah, it's fun. I love it. I love it. I love entertainment. I love film. I really love film, filmmaking. I think if I had to choose one or the other, I'd be a director.
What's your favorite movie?
Of all time? Run, Logan's Run. Logan's Run, I mean.
That's great.
I was going to say Run, Lolo. Run, Lolo. Run, Lolo, Run.
I thought you were going to say Silent Run.
My favorite, one of my favorite movies. I have a lot of favorite movies. One of them is A Professional. You ever see The Professional?
Leon?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
One of my all-time favorites. Dr. Strangelove. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a secret favorite of mine, sure.
Is it?
Yeah. I love Dr. Strangelove.
You ever see At Close Range, Sean Penn?
Oh, I love it, Close Range.
That's one of my favorite movies. I could watch that movie over and over again. It's got a great score under to the Madonna little Live to Tell thing, but like that was one of my favorite movies, At Close Range.
So dark. It's so heavy. It's so...
Yeah, it was just amazing acting in it.
Did you audition for that?
No, I didn't.
What about Some Kind of Wonderful? I could see either one of you in that.
Yeah, film. I didn't audition for that.
They did name the lead character Keith, which I thought was kind of cool. Thank you, John Hughes, for making Some Keith kind of cool, I guess. Now I got, someone told me, you get the parts you're right for. You know, you miss out on this or that, you wind up doing this. And people know you as the thing that you do.
Yeah.
And it's not your life, it can be. And a lot of people don't know. And they think if they were in your shoes, it would be their life. They go, I'd be doing.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that we're artists, we're actors, and I'm not Johnny. Somebody wrote Johnny and I played that character. You know what I mean? Like somebody wrote your characters and you played them. At the core, we're pieces of clay that get molded into certain things. We'll go, oh, you're that. You're an artist. Great. If something lives and it's vibrating today, freaking awesome. You know?
Did you get your point of view through in Python 2? Rewriting dialogue? Did you put
I did. I really did. I really, I got to build, yeah.
The government really controls the, no, did you get your message out?
Yes, I did.
Are you an activist? Are you trying to say something and change the world with your films?
Or no, I just tried to make him human. They turned him into like, I don't know what happened to that. I don't even remember now.
Well, it's so genuinely good to see you.
You too, my man.
Always. And great talking to you. Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you for sharing back. Thanks for having me. Earl.
Everything.
It's a real honor.
It's been great, man. I can't believe. So the last time I saw you was at the Friars Club?
So at the Friars Club, you were in the front row with a couple hot babes.
Yes, that's right.
My sisters. All the comics were... your sisters. Hey, they were hot. Yeah. Every comic's like, oh my God, Johnny's here, Johnny's here.
All right.
I'm like, that's Greg Tolan, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And you were very nice to all of us, and you can tell then you're a nice guy.
Thanks. Well, you know. Thanks, guys. I had a good time. Yeah. Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks for letting me in the building, bro.
Very, very cool. Thank you for listening, everybody, tonight. This is The Call Sheet. Keith Coogan, Earl Skakel. We've had our special guest, William Zabka, Billy Zabka.
Billy.
The Z-Man. Is it Billy? You didn't do that thing where you're like, Z-Man. I want to be known as like Richard Schroeder, or you didn't do that?
No.
You're Billy Zabka.
I'm Billy Zabka. I chose William Zabka as my first credit because I thought I was going to eventually one day grow into William, and I never did.
Thank God for that.
No, I stayed Billy. I thought one day I'd be William Zabka, but no. I don't know why. I almost went with Billy Michaels for the hell of it.
That's a porn name right there.
Billy Michaels.
That should have been your middle name. Then you could follow along with
that. That is my
Michael
middle
Thomas.
Name.
Oh, there you go.
It is my middle name. But I was just going to do instead of, you know, I like the song, Rockin' It. All right, everybody, listen. Get back to what you're doing. We got to run. Saturday night, we're going to rock and roll right now. Big plans. Be good. Dream big. Don't forget who your friends are. This is Keith Coogan and Billy Zabka. And Earl, what was your last name again?
Skakel.
Sorry, that's not my...
Please.
Skakel.
Don't apologize.
It's Earl Skakel. The man, Earl Skakel. And Jeremy, our producer. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you. Well, we won't see you, but we'll talk to you again soon.
See, now you got the sexy radio voice coming.
Oh, you just got to move a little closer. That's it, huh?
I'm hard as a rock right now. I don't know about you guys.
Anybody want to call in now? All right, we got to go.
We could read out some passages from Shades of Grey right now.
Yeah, or Platoon.
I've got a gay porn script if you guys want to.
Say goodnight.
Goodnight, everybody.
That's so sexy. Rock and roll.